Hello everyone, my name is Luis Montiel Petro. I'm a student at McGill University, PhD student at COSMO, Stochastic Mind Planning Laboratory. And today I'm going to present to you some work that we have developed in the lab regarding optimization of mining complexes. So the title of this presentation is Optimizing Mining Complexes with Multiple Processes and Transportation Alternatives. And we will see this is an uncertainty-based approach. The content of this presentation, we will see firstly an introduction about mining complexes, what is the problem that we want to solve, and the method that we are proposing, the mathematical formulation of the method, and the solution approach that we are going to implement. Then we will see the implementation of the method in a multi-pit copper operation, and finally we will address some conclusions and future work. As an introduction, this is how a mining complex may look like. So we may have several deposits or pits from where we are going to extract multiple material types. These materials are going to be sent to stockpiles or to given destinations to generate a set of products. This is a complex problem, and there are some tools that are in the industry in order to get solutions for this particular problem. But the problem may be even a bit more complex when you may account for alternatives at the different destinations. And what we refer to this, we will see this through an example. Let's consider a particular mill. So in this mill, we're going to feed the mill with multiple material types, but we may operate that mill with two different options. The first option is the fine grinding option. The second option is the coarse grinding option. If we operate the mill with fine grinding, we're going to have a smaller particle size, but this is going to lead us to a high recovery because the particles are going to be more liberated. And because of that, because we need to put the particles in small size, the throughput of the mill is going to be small. It's a low throughput. In the opposite case, with coarse grinding, we're going to have a lower recovery, but we're going to have a higher throughput. So the question that we may have now is, which is the best option to use? What if we give the flexibility to the optimization problem to choose what option is the best to use at any time, at any period? So that's something that we want to consider in the case of mining complexes. But also, there is another step that it is important to consider, and it's the transportation systems. And it is important because they may limit the overall output of the systems. As we can see in this figure, we may consider that we're going to generate a certain amount of product, but because we are going to overpass the capacity of the pipeline, we are not going to be able to transport this amount of product. So it is important to account for these limitations in transportation systems when we are optimizing mining complexes. So this is the objective that we have then. We want to optimize mining complex accounting for all the different sequential activities that are involved. So we have mining, we have some blending operations, we have some processing streams, we transport the material to generate a set of products, and then we put those products in a final destination or stock. So the idea to optimize this is to maximize discounted profits and minimize deviation from mining, blending, processing, and transporting targets. And to do that, we formulate the problem in this way. So this is the objective function that we're going to consider for that. In this objective function, we have two terms. The first term refers to discounted profits. So we're going to evaluate the revenues and costs associated at the different activities of the mining complex. And we're going to evaluate that for all the different periods and for all the different scenarios. It is important to mention here that we account for geological uncertainty through our body simulations at the different deposits. And what we call here scenario is basically a combination of geological simulation at the different pits. So we then want to maximize the discounted profits through all periods and all scenarios, but also we want to minimize deviations from production targets. And we say production targets, we account for mining, blending, processing and transporting targets. And the way we do that is that we penalize those deviations. And this is the second term of the ejected function. To evaluate the discount profit, this is the expression that we're going to use. Basically, we account here for the revenues and the costs associated to the different activities. And we have here the revenue that we obtain by selling the different products, the mining costs associated to mine the different materials in the different deposits, the processing cost, which is the cost that we pay by processing the material in the different destinations, the stockpiling cost, which is basically the cost of sending material from the deposits to the stockpiles, rehandle cost, which is sending the material from the stockpiles to the different destinations, and the transportation cost. And we are going to discount all these revenues and costs by using an economical discount rate. The second term of the ejected function is the penalty. And we evaluate this penalty by accounting for the penalties associated to the capacities of the pit or the overall capacity of the mining complex, the penalties associated to the processing capacities at the different destinations. We know that in order to process all the different destinations, we may have some metallurgical properties that we have to control. So we have to get those properties in certain ranges. So we are gonna penalize the deviation from those metallurgical properties. And we also are gonna penalize the deviations for the transportation capacities. And this is what we account for in the second term of the ejected function. So we want to minimize those deviations. So we know that we have an ejected function that accounts for revenues, costs, and deviations. But how can we evaluate those terms? So in order to evaluate those, we define three main types of decision variables. We have the X variables, which are basically binary variables representing whether or not a block I is extracted in period T and sent to destination T. We also have Y variables, which are binary variables that represent what processing alternative are we using at a given destination. To remember the example of the mill, this variable is basically telling us if we're going to use the fine grinding or the coarse grinding option in a given period. And we also have the Z variables, which are linear variables between 0 and 1, and they represent the transportation proportions. Basically, they are telling us the output material of a given destination is going to be transported using which transportation system. Again, in the example of the mill, the output material of the mill is going to be transported using a pipeline or some trucks. So these variables basically represent what is the transportation systems that we are going to use to transport the material. So knowing these variables, we can evaluate the productions, costs, and deviations associated to the different activities or the different stages. So we can evaluate, for instance, the mine production as the multiplication of the X variables, which are the binary variables that represents the blocks, multiplies by the tonnage of the different blocks. And we are going to do that for all destinations and considering all the different set of blocks. The set I represents the set of blocks that we have through all the different mining complex. We also can evaluate what is the tonnage that is going to be output of a given destination. And the way we can evaluate that is by considering the tonnage that goes into that particular destination, but multiplying for the Y variable that represents the processing alternative that we're going to use, and a parameter P that basically represents the throughput relationship. It is basically telling us if we feed 100 tons to that particular destination, how many tons are we going to get out from that destination? And then that way we can evaluate what is the amount of tonnage that we're going to get out from that particular destination. Knowing that, we can evaluate what is the demand of transportation. So we can evaluate what is the amount of tonnage that we're going to transport using the different transportation system. And this is something that we can evaluate by accounting for the output tonnage of a given process multiplied by the set variable that represents the transportation proportions. The same way we can evaluate all the different deviations and productions at the different activities through all the mining complex. So the method itself considers two types of constraints. We have some soft constraints that are constraints that are relaxed by means of penalties in the objective function. And these constraints are related to pit capacity constraints, destination capacity constraints, landing target constraints, and transportation capacity constraints. But we also have a set of constraints that are hard constraints. It means that they cannot be violated at any time. And those constraints are referred to precedence constraints. So in order to extract a particular block, we have to extract first the set of predecessor blocks. We also have reserve constraints, but basically it's telling us that a particular block can be mined only once. And there are also another set of operational constraints that we are considering as hard constraints in this particular formulation. So we can observe that we are defining a large amount of binary variables, and this leads us to a very complex problem that it, even for small instances, it's going to be hard to solve using a conventional optimizer like Cplex. So because of that, we propose a solution approach in order to get a good solution for this particular problem. And this solution, at any time, independent of its quality, is going to tell us which blocks to mine and where to send it, which is basically what X variables represent. Which operating alternative are we going to use at a given destination, which is what Y variables represent. And they also, it's going to tell us which transportation systems are we going to use, which is basically the transportation proportion variables. So given a particular solution, independent of the quality of that solution, how can we improve it? So the idea that we have is to perturb the solution at the different decision levels. It means we can perturb a solution at a block-based level, X variables, at a destination or operating alternative level, which is the Y variables, and at a transportation level, which is basically Z variables. So that's basically what the method that we're proposing is going to do, and we will see this with more details. So before doing any perturbations, what the method does, or the algorithm does, is that it evaluates what we call the overall profitability per block per destination. So it basically considers a mining block, and it evaluates the economic value of that block by sending to all the different destinations. So we evaluate the economic value of that block to send to the mill, and then we do the evaluation by accounting all the different scenarios or simulations. So what is the value of that block in scenario one, scenario two? So we sum up all the different, the value of all the different scenarios, and that's what we call overall profitability of that particular block at that particular destination. So we do the same for all the different destinations, and in that way we can evaluate what is the optimal destination of that particular block. In this case, optimal destination refers to the destination where we have the highest overall profitability value. So knowing that, we can perform what we call the block-based perturbation, which is basically perturbation at the first decision level. And what we're going to try to do in this level of perturbation is to swap mining periods and destinations of the blocks. And the way we do that is by using this particular algorithm, in where we select a candidate block, and then we evaluate the overall profitability of that block at its best destination. So if that overall profitability value is higher than zero, it means that we can get some profit by mining that block. So what we are going to do is that we're going to try to push that block to an early period. And the way we do that is by controlling the iteration process of the candidate periods of the block. So we try to iterate from an early period to a later period in order to favorite the ability of pushing that block to an early period. The set of candidate destinations are referred to those destinations where we are going to have a positive overall profitability value. In the opposite case, when we have a block that has negative overall profitability, we are going to try to push that block to a later period because of the time value of money. So in that case, we just transform the iteration process. So now we're going to try to favorite the ability of pushing that block to a later period. And the candidate destination is just the destination that reduces the losses of profit of that particular block. So this is basically what we do in the block-based perturbation level. The second level of perturbation is what we call operating alternative-based perturbations. And what we try to do in this case is to change the alternative, the operating alternative that we are considering at the different destinations in different periods. Basically, in the example of the mill, changing from coarse grinding to fine grinding in certain periods of the life of the mine. So basically, to do that, we select a period randomly and select a destination, and then we start testing the different operating alternatives, and if by changing the operating alternative of that particular destination we improve the objective function, we accept that perturbations. If we don't improve, we will accept or reject based on a decision rule that we will see in future slides. The third level of perturbations is the transportation system based perturbations, and at this level of perturbation what we are trying to do is to change the transportation proportions of the materials. Let's say as example that we're gonna transport the output material of the mill by using 70% of a pipeline and 30% of trucks. So this swapping mechanism can transform the proportions to 50% pipeline and 50% trucks. And the idea behind this perturbation mechanism is to decrease the deviations from the transportation capacities, but at the same time reduce the transportation cost. So that's basically the idea behind these transportation system based perturbations. So we know that all the perturbations work at different levels, but any change that we do in one level may affect the answer that we're going to have at the other different levels. So in order to account for this, we perform the perturbations in an iterative way. After a certain amount of first level perturbations, we move to second level perturbations, and then after to a third level perturbations in an iterative way. That way we are controlling that by changing one particular decision level, decision at that given level, we also are modifying the decisions at the other different levels. And at any level of perturbations, we are going to accept or reject those perturbations by using this probability distribution, in where basically if we have a perturbations that improve the objective function, the objective value, we're going to set that perturbation with 100% of probability. If we have a perturbation that decrease the value of the objective function, then we're going to accept that perturbation with that exponential probability that depends of the value of that deterioration of the objective value, and a T value that is called temperature. It's what we call annealing temperature, that it comes from Metropolis algorithm. And basically this temperature controls the ability of the method to accept or reject unfavorable perturbations. So we implement the method in a multi-bit operation, a copper operation. In this operation we have two bits, pit A and pit V, and we have five different material types. And these material types are going to be sent to five available destinations. So we have a waste dump, we have a small mill and a big mill, we have a bio-leaching plant and an hydrometallurgical plant. And in the two mills, we're going to control two elements, metallurgical elements, the blending element 1 and the blending element 2. Blending element 1 controls the operation at the small mill. Blending element 2 controls the operation at the big mill. So we consider 20 ore body simulations for each deposit. And as was mentioned, what we do is like we combine these simulations to generate the different scenarios. And we generate an initial solution that we're going to treat as a base case for comparison. And this solution we generated using a conventional optimizer. So basically what we did is that we considered the E-type of the different deposits, of the two deposits, and the E-type is the average grade of the mining blocks regarding the set of simulations. So this is like the average grade type deposit, which is normally used in the industry. So we use this deposit and we generate that schedule using Whittle software, which is something commonly done in the industry. Then we test that solution in the set of ore body simulations, And this is the result that we obtain. As we can observe, we have large deviations regarding the production of the pits, but also regarding the capacities of the small mill, the big mill. And this solution generates an NPV that, for this comparison, we're going to say this 100% NPV. So we will see if we are able to improve this value with the method that we are proposing. So we observe that in the case of the big mill, we have deviations in some periods that could be greater than 40%, which is a very large deviation from the capacity. So this is driven by the fact that using an average type deposit doesn't generate an answer that performs well in average. So this is driven by the fact that the grades of the block, the transfer function that relates the grades of the block and the economic values, is nonlinear. So that's why an average deposit doesn't generate an average solution. So regarding the blending elements, we observe that we have large and impractical deviations. And in the blending element one, in between periods of 4th and 7th, we have large, we are not going to meet the targets. And we have the same behavior regarding the blending element two in the first period. So before implementing the method, we have to define which optimization parameters are we going to use. So one of the parameters is the annealing temperature that we mentioned earlier. So we perform a test by considering different annealing temperatures to see which one could be the best starting temperature. And we can observe in the first figure here that show us the evolution of the net present value of the expected NPV with the number of perturbations at different temperatures. We can observe that when we consider a temperature of around 100,000, we are going to obtain the larger NPV. So this solution doesn't diverge that much, but at the same time, it converges to a good value in terms of NPV. The same behavior occurs when we consider the penalties, the penalty term of the jetted function. So this temperature is able to minimize the deviation from the different targets. So because of that, we choose to work with a temperature of 100,000 in this particular case. Other important parameter to consider is the number of cycles. So the algorithm can be implemented in several runs. So we test what is the evolution of the NPV with the number of cycles, and we can observe that after 2 cycles, there is no significant improvement of the NPV. And regarding the penalized deviations, we observe that after the first cycle, there is no significant reduction of those deviations. So because of that, we don't consider that going beyond 2 cycles is going to be something like, it's going to give us a large improvement of the objective function. So knowing the parameters that we're going to use, we implement the method. So this is the solution that we obtained when implementing the method. So we can observe that we are going to meet the capacities of the pits, and also we're going to be meeting the capacity of the small mill and the big mill. In the first years of given the geometry of the deposit, there are some pre-stripping years, so we cannot meet the capacities in the first periods, but then after we're going to meet the capacity for a large number of periods. Regarding the net present value, well, the value is pretty similar to the one obtained with the deterministic method, but it is important to mention that in the deterministic method we have large and unrealistic deviations from targets, but in this case this NPV forecast is much more realistic in the sense that we are now meeting the capacities of the different destinations. But also, as we can observe here, we are also going to meet the targets regarding the blending elements. As you can observe here, we don't have this large deviation regarding the blending element one that we obtain in the deterministic solution. And regarding the blending element two, we decrease that probability of having a large deviation in the first period that we observe when we implement the deterministic solution. So we observe that the method is able to control these deviations from operational ranges. But also, what if we give some flexibility of the method to modify the operating alternative at the mills. So in the first case, we consider that we are going to use the fine grinding option by default in both mills. Now in this case, we're going to give the flexibility of the optimizer to choose which operating alternative to use at the different mills. And by changing the mill, the operating alternative of the mill to coarse grinding, the capacities in both mills are going to increase by 12%, but the recoveries are going to decrease by 2%. So what is the best option to use? So we just give that flexibility to the method, and this is the solution that we obtain. We can observe that regarding the small mill and the big mill, we are going to be also very close of the capacity, even though like the capacities of the mill change when swapping from one alternative to another, the optimizer or the method pushes material in a way that it tries to control that we don't have large deviation from those capacities. Regarding the blending element, it's important to mention that the operational ranges of those blending elements change when we go from one alternative to another. As we can observe here, the algorithm tries to control that, so it pushes material in a way that when it changes from one alternative to another, the blending elements also move to be inside the ranges. And we can observe very clearly in the blend regarding the blending element 1 curve, but also regarding the blending element 2. So we can say that the algorithm is able to control also when we have this operating alternative, the capacities and the operational ranges. Regarding the net present value, we observe that by implementing the approach with this flexibility, we're going to have an NPV which is 5% higher than the best case. But now, as we said before, we have practical deviation from capacities and blending targets, something that we don't have with the deterministic solution. So this leads me to the end of the presentation. As conclusion, so we observe that the proposed method largely reduced expected deviations from targets, giving an initial solution that was generating using a conventional method. We observe that the deviations regarding the small mill, they were reduced from 18 to 1%. Regarding the capacity of the big mill, they were reduced from 22 to 3%. Regarding the blending element 1, in the first 7 periods, the reductions were from 7 to 0.3%. And regarding the blending element 2, reductions were from 1.8 to 0.6%. And apart from these reductions, we also have an NPV that is increased by 5%. We also observe that when we give flexibility to choose to the approach to choose which operating alternative to use, they can tell us what is the best option to use at the different periods. And regarding the coarse, the big mill, it chooses to operate the mill with coarse grinding in periods 16 and 19. And regarding the small mill, it chooses to use the coarse grinding in more periods, like from 5 to 8 and 10, 12, and so on. So basically, it is telling us which operating alternative to use at the different periods in the different destinations. What we would like to do in the future is to test the robustness of the method based on the number of scenarios. So as was mentioned, we consider 20 scenarios that we obtained them by 20 or body simulations of each deposit. So what happens if we use 10, 15, or 30? So we want to test the robustness of that solution based on the number of scenarios. But also, we want to test also the third level of perturbations, which is the transportation alternative perturbations that we haven't tested in this particular example. Thanks very much for your attention. And again, if you have any questions, feel free to contact us anytime. Thank you.